This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's take a look at the proposed merger between Woonsocket, Rhode Island-based CVS Health and Aetna, Aetna being one of the nation's largest health insurers. Now, this is a big proposal, some $69 billion, and with it, of course, come big questions, such as, how could it change healthcare delivery for millions of Americans, and could it make things more or less expensive? Here's how CVS Chief Executive Larry Merlo answered on CNBC yesterday.
It's really the perfect time to bring these two companies together to create a new healthcare platform that can be easier to use and less expensive for consumers and really create a new front door to healthcare in our country.
Sounds great, but, you know, CEOs almost always have a very rosy outlook for their mega mergers. Not everyone agrees that the deal could be great for consumers, and we're talking about a lot of people here. CVS has nearly 10,000 drugstores and 1,100 walk-in clinics. Aetna covers 22 million Americans. So let's get some down-the-middle analysis from Craig Garthwaite. He leads the Health Enterprise Management Program at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. He joins us on a slightly shaky phone line, but Craig Garthwaite, we're glad that we could have you anyway. So welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, let me just get right to what I think is, you know, a big question about the CVS-Aetna merger. Most of the time in the healthcare industry, whenever we've seen consolidation, people have said that generally that's not good for customers. It tends to drive prices up. Could that happen in this case?
I mean, it certainly could happen. I don't think it's the first thing we would look at here. The first thing we want to think about is that this is what we refer to as a vertical, not a horizontal merger. This is not about two hospitals in the same city joining and then trying to charge higher prices. This is about a vertical merger where we think about a supplier either being bought by its customer or a customer buying its supplier. And so it leads to different economic theories as to why we might see benefits and also different potential harms.
Okay, so let's talk through some of those benefits and harms. What do you think are the potential advantages?
So the potential benefits, there are a couple avenues we might see. The first thing we need to realize is that CVS Health is much more than just the retail pharmacy that we think of, right? So we often think of CVS as comparable to Walgreens, but they're actually a much bigger company than that. And so on the one hand, they have a very large pharmacy benefit management business, and these are often referred to as PBMs. And basically, you should think of this as the person that does your prescription drug insurance. And so they go by names like Caremark, which is owned by CVS, and Express Scripts, and Optum. And so they do your prescription drug insurance. Your health insurer does your medical insurance. And when you see the doctor, you go to the hospital. And there are definitely some theories that we have that if one firm actually controlled both of these functions, if they're responsible for figuring out how you got access to prescription drugs and how you accessed medical services, they might make a more coordinated or better decision.
Right. So just streamline that. Yeah.
Exactly. A simple way of thinking about this, and it gets more complex than this, but basically think of someone who's a diabetic. If I'm only responsible for paying for your diabetes medications, I'm probably going to set a relatively higher copayment rate on that than if I'm also responsible for when you don't take your medicine because your copay is too high, you end up in the hospital. And so if I'm responsible for all of your medical services, I'm going to think differently and try and provide a better, more cohesive benefit. And we do see evidence of that in the Medicare program, that when insurers through Medicare Advantage cover both your doctor's visits and your prescription drugs, they make different decisions about how you access the pharmacy.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then from sort of maybe a different perspective about pharmacy benefit management. If you are a drug manufacturer or a pharmaceutical company, are you looking at this and saying, maybe this isn't so great for us? Because if they're streamlining, could it mean that they want to pay less for certain drugs?
Well, I mean, they certainly want to pay less now.
Right? Yeah.
It's not, you know, we always want to pay less. I will note, though, and we have some articles on this that suggest that if you're a pharmacy benefit manager now that's on its own, like an Express Scripts, right? You own neither pharmacies nor do you own a health insurer. There are some incentives that are built into the market that at the margin make you want to have a high list price. That's sort of the price we see in the news all the time for a drug.
Yep.
And a big rebate, which is sort of how we get a discount from the pharmaceutical manufacturer for that. Because while I pass some of that rebate on to the insurance company, I keep some myself. And so at the margin, there are incentives for list prices to be higher. And that matters because a lot of us pay for our coinsurance for prescription drugs. right? The percentage of the cost that we have to pay ourselves as customers are based on the list price, not the post-rebate price. So there could be some real advantages to the customer, actually, of eliminating that external middleman and having it all be part of the same company.
Okay. So that has to do with, sort of the pharmacy side of CVS. Now, they're also talking about, perhaps a merger like this could, for in at least some places, reduce the cost of treating chronic illnesses because it would give patients better access or quicker access to sort of that kind of care. If you could just, go across the street to your CVS instead of having to go to a hospital or to your doctor. Is that too rosy a scenario?
Well, I think that's certainly the one of the goals of this merger. If you listen to the company call describing the merger, both the CEOs of CVS and Aetna described about this expanded retail footprint. So anyone who's been in a CVS recently over the past few years has noted that they've been changing from really a true retail pharmacy and attempting to become more of a healthcare source, right? So they stopped selling cigarettes. They opened all these minute clinics. The idea is that if they expanded that and coordinated with your insurer, they could provide places for you to go in between doctor's visits if you're someone who has a chronic condition. And really what we're thinking about here is that to make that work requires an investment from both the insurance company and the owner of the retail clinics. But we're not really sure who's going to get the most benefit from this in terms of reduced savings and extra revenue. And so each of those players doesn't want to really make the investment unless they know they're going to get the full benefit. And so there's a strong argument that if these firms were merged together, they wouldn't be worried about who's going to benefit from each incremental investment because it would all stay within sort of the corporate infrastructure. And we might end up in a better spot. That's certainly the goal. That's the pitch that these companies are making as to how this is going to create value.
Okay, so if I could just jump in here, because I'm trying to – this is actually quite a complicated thing, and I'm trying to wrap my head around – what might be a concrete example that would help us understand the meaning of this merger? And I'm just going to make up one. I don't think this has ever actually happened in real life. But is it fair to say that it's comparable to, say, an auto insurance company merging with an auto manufacturer? And so then, the same place you get your driver's insurance would be the same place you buy your car from?
I would think of it, I would think of it more of like an automobile insurer merging with the repair shop.
Merging with the
right,
repair
which,
shop.
Which, like,
okay.
Progressive has done in places.
Okay.
And which maybe they were worried about cutting out potentially some fraud or something like that.
I see. So for the consumer, though, then at the end of the day, I mean, is that a good or a bad thing? Because maybe in the auto repair shop example, I mean, would folks be worried that, maybe they would be directed towards the kinds of repairs that aren't necessarily what they need?
Yeah, so here what we'd really be worried about, right, given the structure of it, is that at the margin we create the incentive to provide less medical care to you, right? So if we talk about, what we want from value-based care, we want to move away from fee-for-service medicine as we make the provider sort of, here's a fixed amount of money they treat this patient,
yeah. And
the more you treat them, the less profit you get. And so we worry about sort of an under-provision of medical services in these markets. And this is something we see, right, this is not the first time we've seen something like this. Right? Kaiser Permanente in California, right, they are a provider-sponsored health plan, which has some of the similar ideas of what we're talking about here, where the insurer and the provider are owned by the same person. So we'd worry about that. The second thing we worry about here is that we're making the business of being a health insurer actually quite complicated. To be an insurer now, let's imagine a world in which this works for CVS and it works for the other person following down this path, which is United Health Group, right, which also owns its own PBM and owns its own providers. That means that any new entrant to insurance that really wants to compete with these firms has got to be both an insurance company, a PBM, and own a set of retail clinics.
Right.
That's just really hard to do, and that might mean that we get less competition in the insurance market. And so even if CVS were successful, right, and they actually did get lower medical costs, they would keep those as profits rather than having them go to lower premiums because there's no competitive force that forces them to lower premiums to get your business.
I see. Okay.
And so that's where we actually would have some worry that we would get to the, quote, value-based care we want, whatever that means to you. Right, we would get to that outcome, but it still wouldn't lower premiums because we wouldn't have a healthy, robust, competitive insurance market.
I see. Now, just to stay on this point for one more second,
sure.
Is it possible that Aetna then, again, for for the sheer sort of dollar and cents aspect of this, is it possible that Aetna would say to its patients, really, we want you to go to CVS first? And in some cases, people ought to be going to their doctors or their hospitals, but they're told to go to CVS first, or they're encouraged to.
Yeah, we would be worried about that as well. We would note, though, that if going to CVS first meant that you would have a worse medical outcome, Aetna's on the hook for that. So if going to CVS meant that you're more likely to show up in the hospital, for example, right, that's going to be a cost to Aetna as the insurer. And so in that setting, given that they are interested in lowering your medical spending, I'm not super worried about that.
Okay.
I think they will push you to go to CVS for things that you could go to another similar provider, and they want to retain you within the CVS family, partly because they want to coordinate your access to medical care. If you think about the most successful examples we think about this, like in Intermountain Healthcare or Kaiser Permanente in California, you only get service from their facilities.
Right.
Right. That's the name of the game. Right. And then they can coordinate your access to care and hopefully provide better health outcomes.
Okay. But it's the specter of HMOs, right? I mean, suddenly.
No, listen, it's in HMOs, but if we want to move to a place in which we're coordinating benefits, then you're going to have fewer choices. Your choice is going to be sort of in the beginning as to what set of doctors you want, but that's where we're going to be. I think overall, the thing we want to think about with the merger, I know there's been a lot of people who are quite skeptical of this merger, and I've tried as I can to sort of talk about that there are positives and negatives here. But if we are moving to a world in which we're trying to change the nature of healthcare, right, this idea where we pay for health as opposed to the utilization of healthcare services, we have to think that the current firms we have are not organized in the right way to compete in this new environment. Right? They were developed to compete in fee-for-service medicine. And so we're going to have a series of mergers and a series of probably divestitures where firms bring on new assets and activities and they get rid of old things they used to do. And we're going to see a reorganization of the healthcare system along that line.
Yeah,
I think that what we've seen from UnitedHealthcare, what we've seen from CVS Aetna in this announced merger, what we saw from Anthem announcing that they were going to stop working with Express Scripts as their PBM and now do that themselves, these are all the beginnings of this reorganization of healthcare.
So let me ask you one last question about about that point, since you're talking about reorganization of healthcare. And this may not be, you know, at the core of why CVS wants to merge with Aetna, but people are also talking about Amazon moving into the pharmacy business, and that, you know, this could be something of a protective move by CVS to sort of prepare for that future.
Yeah, I mean, people have definitely talked about that. I am less sort of optimistic about that being part of this. I do think that Amazon appears to be sniffing around the edges of pharmacy. I don't see, one, exactly how that threatens what CVS is doing in terms of its PBM business. It's going to take a long time for Amazon to get to that point.
Well, Craig Garthwaite leads the Health Enterprise Management Program at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.